Today's Daf HaShavua Shir in Yerushalmi is dedicated in memory of Dora Bas Rivka Silver Alea Shalom. It begins in the Oz V'Hodor edition, three lines from the bottom of Daf Hei Amid Beis in the middle of the line, with the words Tani Eitz Chaim, and is found in the Vilna edition on Daf Dalid Amid Beis. Begins the Gemara. Tani was taught in the Braisa Eitz Chaim Mahale Chamesh Meyoshana, that the Eitz Chaim in the Gan Eden, for a person to walk through that Eitz Chaim, and we'll soon see what part of the Eitz Chaim we're referring to, that would take Chamesh Me'ashana 500 years. The Eitz Yosef on the Medrash Rabban Bereshis tells us that from earth to heaven, it takes 500 years. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Chesem at Beis tells us that the width of the earth is equal to the distance from earth to heaven. So just like we saw that from earth to heaven it's 500 years, so too it would take a person to walk the earth 500 years as well. And now that we have learned in our Yerushalmi here that the width, as we will see, of the trunk of the Eitz HaChaim is 500 years, what it means is that the Eitz HaChaim is Mekayim, the whole world. That just like the width of the earth itself takes 500 years, and we're saying that the width of the Eitz HaChaim, the diameter through the Eitz HaChaim is also 500 years, so it means that the Eitz HaChaim is sustaining the entire world. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda bar Rabbi Eloi. Rav Yehuda bar Eloi said, Loi Saif Dover Naifai. Ultimately, we're not referring here to the branches of the Eitz HaChaim. El Afilu Kairasai. Even the trunk. Now, what does the word Kairasai mean? There are those who are Gairus not with a Chaf, but with a Kuf. If you look in the Rosh Cirillo, he says, Kairasai Gizai, its trunk. Kamoi Kairasai, as if it would be written with the letter Kuf, Bechilof Chaf Bekuf. And others have actually the wording in our Yerushalmi of Kuf. The Gra also says that Kairasai means Gizai, the trunk of the tree. What is the meaning of what Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Eloi says, that Loi Saifed Over Neifel Afilu Kairasai? So the Pnei Moshe gives two Pshatim. According to both Pshatim, it's referring to the diameter of the trunk of the Eitz Chaim. And what Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi is saying is that ultimately we're not referring to Neifoi. According to one pshat in the Pnei Moshe, this means to the entire diameter of the branches of the Eitz Chaim, but rather we're only referring to the diameter of the trunk. According to the other pshat of the Pnei Moshe, we're not referring to the trunk concerning the circumference of the trunk, which is under the neifoi, the branches. According to this pshat of Tanai Moshe, we're not speaking about the entire range of under the branches, from one end of the branches to the other end of the branches. We're referring to the trunk, but we're not referring to the circumference around the trunk, which is under the branches. But rather we're referring to the diameter, because if we were referring to the circumference around the branches, we know that there is a rule that whatever is in circumference 3, as the Pnei Moshe quotes, whatever you have in diameter 1, there is in circumference 3. So if the circumference is the 500 years, that would mean that the diameter would be a third of that. And we are saying that the 500 years refers to the diameter of the trunk itself and not the circumference. So according to both Pshatim and Pnei Moshe, we're referring to the diameter of the trunk. And now the Gemara continues on Daf Vav Amid Aleph, based on a Pasuk in Bereshis, Perek Beis Pasuk Yud, where the Pasuk says, V'nohar yoytz me'eden, l'hashkos es hagan, u'misham yuparid, v'hayol arba roshim, that from the Eitz HaChaim, which was in the Gan Eden, there went out the four main rivers, says the Gemara, v'chol pilug me bereshis, all of the splitting all of the branches of the waters of Mei Bereish is Mispalgin Mitachtav, they divide from under the Eitz HaChayim, Umatam. And what is the basis? Where do we find a pasuk that shows us that the waters divide under the Eitz HaChayim? Because the pasuk says, V'hoyo ke'et shosol apal ge'mayim. B'pashis is speaking about the tzaddik. The tzaddik will be like a tree that is planted on the palge mayim, meaning the brooks of water. However, the Yerushalmi understands it to be referring to the Eitz HaChayim. The tzaddik is like the Eitz HaChayim, which is planted al palge mayim, referring to the division of waters, the four main rivers that come out from the Eitz HaChayim. And just like, as we mentioned, the Eitz HaChayim is the yisoid of the Bria, from which those four waters come out from and divide, so too the Tzaddik is compared to the Eitz HaChayim. The Tzaddik is yisoid Olam. And perhaps we can say that the Ein Mayim Ela Torah, that which the pasuk refers to here, Palge Mayim, refers to Torah. The Tzaddik is the embodiment of Torah. And therefore, Torah is the Yesod of the world, and the Tzaddik, who is the Lomei Torah, is thus the Yesod of the world, and is compared to the Eitz HaChayim, which is Shosol al Palge Mayim, which it too is the Yisod of the world, as we mentioned before, because the Mahalach through the diameter of the trunk of the Eitz HaChayim is 500 years, just like the width of the entire earth. Continues the Gemara, Tani, we learned in a Braisa, Eitz HaChayim Echad Mishishim Ligan. We have a Gemara in Bavli Brachas that tells us that certain things are 1/60th of another. For example, Eish is a 1/60th of Gehenim, and Shabbos is a 1/60th of Olam Haba, and a Chalom is a 1/60th of Nevuah, and Honey is a 1/60th of Mon. However, the 1/60th that the Yerushalmi discusses, we do not find in the Bavli. Says the Yerushalmi that the Eitz Chaim is 1/60th of the Gan Eden. The Bavli in Tainus Daf Yud Amud Aleph tells us that this world is 1/60th of Gan Eden. We learned at the beginning of the Shir, at the bottom of Daf Hei Amud Beis, that the Eitz HaChayim is equal to the diameter of the world. And therefore, just like the world is 1/60th of Gan Eden, the Yerushalmi is telling us that the Eitz HaChayim, which is equivalent to the world, is likewise 1/60th of the Gan Eden. Furthermore, says the Yerushalmi, another 1/60th, which again is not mentioned in the Bavli. The gun echad mishishim le'eden, and the gun of the Eden is 1/60th of the Eden. And from where do we know this? We know this from a pasuk in Parshas Bereishis. V'nohar yoytze mei Eden, there is a river that went out from Eden, lahashkes as a gun, to give water to the gun, to the garden that was in the Eden. And we have a rule that tamtzis kur tirkav shoisa, that the remnant of water that is used to irrigate a field in which one plants a measurement of a kur of seed, a kur is 30 saw or 60 half saw. The remnant of the water used for that field of a kur is tirkav shoisa. It can irrigate a tirkav. The charedim on the fifth line in the right-hand column says, v'tirkav pirushai trei ukav shehem shloisha kabin. The word tirkav means it's tav resh, that's trei, two kabim, and another kav, which is a total of three kabim. So three kabayim, which is equal to half a saw, that is a 1/60th of a kur. As we mentioned, the kur is 30 saw, or 60 half saw, and the tirkav is 1/2 saw. So the tirkav is 1/60th of the kur. The remnants of the irrigation of a field of barley, of a kur, that can irrigate the measurement of a field where we plant three kav, which is a half a saw. And from here we learn out that the gun, which was irrigated by the remnants of the water of the Eden, is in fact 1/60th of the Eden. And therefore, the water that irrigated the Eden, the remnants of that, the tamtzis of that, was able to irrigate the Gan Eden because it's 1/60th, and that's what a tirkav is to a core 1/60th. A brief hakdama to the next piece of Gemara. The Bavli and Tainus Daf Yudam et Aleph tells us that Mitzrayim was 400 parsa by 400 parsa. And the Gemara there tells us that an average person walks 40 mil in a day. And that is similar to what we learned before here in the Yerushalmi and Daf Hamid Beis, and also it's found in the Bavli in Pesachim, Daf Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph, that an average person walks 10 parsos in a day. And 40 mil and 10 parsos is the same because there are 4 mil in a parsa. So if an average person walks 40 mil a day, he walks 10 parsois a day. If Mitzrayim is 400 parsois from one end to the other, it would come out that an average person who walks 10 parsois a day will walk through all of Mitzrayim, which is 400 parsois, in 40 days. Says the Yerushalmi, Tamtzis Kush Mitzrayim Shoyseh, that the remnants of the water that irrigates Kush, which is Ethiopia, and the waters from Ethiopia go to the Nile River and feed the Nile River, that's what irrigates Mitzrayim. The Haredim understands that the Gemara is using the same mathematical formula as it did in the previous Gemara. Just like Tamtzis Kuris Tarkiv Shoysa, and through that we learned that the gun of the Eden was 1/60th of the Eden, so too the remnants of Kush irrigate Mitzrayim, which means that Mitzrayim is 1/60th of Kush. If a person can walk through Mitzrayim in 40 days, then Kush, he can walk through 60 times 40, which is a total of 2,400 days. And as the Haredim explains, using modern math, that if we take 365 days in the year times 6 years, that equals 2,190 days. We subtract that from 2,400 and we have 210. And therefore, the Gemara concludes that Nimtzas Omer, it comes out that Mitzrayim, Ahalach Arboim Yoim, to walk through Mitzrayim, it takes 40 days, as we explained, because it's 400 parsois from end to end, and a person walks 10 parsois a day, which equals 40 mil, but we're going to use the 10 parsois, and therefore, in 40 days, he can walk through the entire Mitzrayim. Vikush, Kush, which is 60 times greater than Mitzrayim, and that's why the remnants of Kush, 1/60th of the original waters that irrigate Kush, now go and irrigate Mitzrayim. So it comes out that Kush is 60 times greater than Mitzrayim. So Kush is Mahalach Sheva Shanim Va'oid. And here the Haredim has a different girsa, because mathematically it does not come out to 7 years plus, but it comes out Shei Shanim Va'oid, and that's the girsa of the Haredim. As we explained, if we take the full 2,400 days that it would take someone to walk, 2,400 days minus 2,190, which is the equivalent to 6 years times 365 days in a year, is 2,190. So 2,400 minus 2,190 leaves over 210. So it's 6 full years plus the oid, that's the 210. As the Haredim explains, since it's 6 full years of 365 days that are in the 2,400 days, therefore he says sheish, again, not sheva, but sheish. And sheish shanim, full void, and there's a remainder. How much is the remainder? 210. Since that it's not a full year, it's not counted as one of the years, it's counted as a remainder. Continues the Gemara of Rabbanan Amrin, and the Rabbanan say, as the Haredim explains, that the Rabbanan here are coming to argue on Rabbi Yehuda that we had on Daf Hei Amid Beis. Rabbi Yehuda said that the Oyvei HaRakia, the thickness of the Rakia, is 50 years for a person to walk, And according to the Rabbanan here, it's 500 years. How do we get to the cheshbon of 500 years? Kishnei, like the years of Avos HaRishonim, of the first Avos, meaning Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, as the pasuk says, Kimei HaShamayim al Ha'aretz, like the years of the heaven on the earth, explains the Charedim that the pshat is, the pasuk says, L'man Yirbu Yumeichem, Yumei V'neichem, al Ha'adamo, Asher Nishba Hashem Lavaseichem, L'seis Lohem, to give them the earth, and they lived for that amount of time on the earth. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov live kimei hashamayim ala oretz, which means the same amount of days that it takes for someone to go from the shamayim to the oretz through the oivei harakia. That's the number 500. And Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov lived on this world for 500 years. As the Charedim explains, Shashir Shnois Chaim Shalahem Kishir Hashanim Shagoiv Mashamayim Al Oris Vehem Chomish Meir Shana. Why? Because Avram lived 175 years. Yitzchak lived 180 years. Yaakov lived 147 years. It's a total of 502 years. And what about the 2 years? Says the Charedim, Vashnayim Einam Becheshbon. We don't count the 2 years. We round it off. The Mara Fuld explains that Bei Shanim Shal Avram Avinu Shal Hikar Es Boirer Like a Chashiv. He doesn't count the 2 years where Avram did not recognize Hashem. He only recognized Hashem when he was 3 years old. So the first 2 years are not counted in the of Avram's life, and therefore total Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, starting from when Avram was 3 years old, is a total of 500, and that equals the Shemayim al Oretz, the years that it takes to go from the Shemayim to the Oretz through the Oivei Rekia. That is the amount of time that Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov lived on this world. Va'amar Akosev, im tisku, kol echad mechem, yichye kimei kulam chamesh meir shana, laman yir b'yumeichem. If you'll be zoichet, you'll also live for 500 years like Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Meanwhile, we see that the Oivei Rekia is not 50 years, it's a total of kimei Shemayim al Oretz, a total of 500 years. And now the Rabbanan continue, and they say, "Kishem shebein oretz l'rakia, mahalach chamesh mei shana," just like we prove from the pasuk of kimei hashamayim al oretz, that from earth to heaven there is a mahalach of 500 years. Kach bein rakia l'rakia. So there is a distance of 500 years between one rakia and another. The Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, tells us that there are seven heavens, seven rakias. The Gemara here is telling us that the same 500 that there is from Eretz until the first rakia, so too there is that difference of 500 years between one rakia and the other, between all the seven rakias, mahale chamesh meos shana. The oivav, and the thickness of each and every rakia, is also mahalach chamesh mei oishana, a distance of 500 years, which comes out the distance of all the seven rakias from each other, and the distance of each rakia itself, the thickness, which is 500 years, comes out. There are seven rakiyas, and there's also a distance between earth and the first rakiya, then the second rakiya, and so on until the seventh rakiya. So there are 14 times 500, which is a total of 7,000. So from Oretz until the seventh rakiya, there is a total distance of 7,000 years, according to this cheshbon here of the Yerushalmi. Ask the Yerushalmi, Uma Chomis, Meimar Oivyav Shal Rakia, Mahalach Chamesh Meos Shana. Why do you see fit? On what do you base this to say that the thickness of each Rakia is 500 years, a distance of 500 years? And as the Charedim explains, Bishlam at a sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that the thickness of the Rakia is 50 years. That was a Kabbalah. He doesn't bring a Pasuk. But we see from the Chachamim, when it comes from Eretz to Shemayim, they brought a Pasuk of Laman Yirbu, where it says Ki Me'ashmayim Al Ha'aretz, so the Gemara understands that according to the Rabbanan, this distance also of the thickness of each rakia that the Rabbanan argue on Rabbi Yehuda. As the Haredim explains, they hold it's not 50 years, the Ivir Rekia, but rather the Rabbanan say it's Kimeh Shemaim Al Ha'aretz, it's 500 years. So just like the distance between Eretz and Shemaim is 500 years based on a Pasuk, so the thickness of each Rekia that it's 500 must also be based on a Pasuk. And therefore the Gemara asks, on what basis, on what Pasuk are you basing this? Amar Rav Bun. Answered Rav Bun, Yehi Rakia b'soy chamayim. We learn it from the Pasuk that there should be a Rakia in the middle of the water. In other words, we have the Mayim El Yoinim and the Mayim Atachtoinim. And the Gemara tells us in the first parak of Tainus that the Mayim El Yoinim was placed in the second Rakia. So Chazal learned out from b'soy chamayim, Yehi Rakia b'tovach, that the first Rakia should be right center smack in the middle between Aretz and the second Rakia. In other words, the same distance that you have between the Mayim HaTachtonim, which is down here on earth, until the first Rakia, which is 500 years, Kimea Shemayim Al Ha'aretz, so too, from the first Rakia to the Mayim El Yoinim, which is in the second Rakia, there is also the same distance, 500 years. But more than that, as the Haredim explains, Yehi Rakia Batavach, the first Rakia, which is equidistant from earth and equidistant from the second Rakia, it itself is Batavach. It itself has the distance in the thickness, the oivya of that rakia, that it takes up the exact distance as there is between the first rakia and Oretz, and the first rakia and the second rakia, the mayim ho'el yoinim. What is that distance between the rakia and the second rakia and the rakia and Oretz? We said it was 500 years. So the rakia itself is batavach, is that same distance. It encompasses a thickness of 500 years. And therefore, it's from this pasuk that the Rabbanan learn out that the oivya of the Rakia is not 50 years like Rabbi Yehuda, but rather 500 years. Continues the Gemara. Rav Omar, Rav says, Lachem hoyu shemayim b'yom rishon. On the first day, the shemayim was soft and moist and wet and in a liquid state. Ubisheni Korshu, and in the second day it congealed. The Haredim explains that Rav is coming to answer a stira. We find on the first day of the Bria that by Yoyim HaRishon it says, Bor Elikim es Hashamayim, that Hashem on the first day created heaven. And yet the Pasuk further says, Vayas Elikim on the second day es HaRakia. So we have a stira. The Rakia is the same as Shemayim. And one Pasuk says he made Shemayim on the first day, and the other Pasuk says he made it on the second day. Rav is answering that on the first day it was moist. It was Lachim. And it was only on the second day that it became a Rakia. It became congealed. And the next piece of Gemara, the Haredim says, we're not Goyris Rav Omar, because this is all the words of Rav. Others say that we put a Dalit in front of Rav, the Rav Omar. And the Haredim explains that Rav is trying to explain, according to my answer on the Stira, that the first day the waters of Shemayim were Lachim. They were liquid. And on the second day they congealed, and that's why there's no Stira. But how do we have the pasuk which Gemara brought before, which says that Yehi Rakia b'soy chamayim, there should be, which indicates there was a Havaya. And a Havaya indicates that there was nothing before and something came into being. Here, you're telling me that it was Lachim, so it was here already. So it would seem that it's not appropriate to use the word Yehi, Havai, it should come into existence on the Rakia on the second day if it was actually already here in a liquid state on the first day. On that, Rav comes to say, Yehi Rakia. It is possible to use the word Yehi, because compared to the way that the Shemayim was at the end as a dry Rakia, it's considered as if it wasn't here before at all, because look what had to take place. Yehi rakia, yechazik rakia. The rakia had to become strengthened. And not only that, but yikoresh rakia. It had to become congealed. And not only that, but yigolet rakia. It had to form a crust. And not only that, yimatech rakia. It had to be stretched out. So since it had to go through so many processes to turn from Shemayim into Rakia, it is appropriate, Rav holds, to use the word Yehi Rakia B'Soy Chamayim, even though it was here in a liquid state already on the first day. So learns the Charedim, the Pshat, in the words of Rav here, and that's why we understand why the Charedim is not Goyris Rav Omer Yehi Rakia, because according to the Charedim, that's the very basis how Rav can give his teretz that it was Lachem on the first day and it was Karshu congealed on the second day, and yet it's appropriate to use the word Yehi Rakia. And as we mentioned, others say De Rav Omer. We understand Rav's first statement because Rav made a second statement, and that second statement gives the basis for the first statement to say that it was Lachem on day one and Korshu on day two. Amar Rav Yehuda ben Pazi, Yaseh kimin matlas harakia. That what happened was, as the Charedim explains, that Rav Yehuda ben Pazi is arguing on the words of Rav, and he says that really on the first day there was only a drop, and therefore, it really is not appropriate to call that drop Shemayim. We have to say, to answer the stira between Shemayim being created on the first day and Rakia on the second day, we have to say that on the first day it was called Shemayim al Shem Ha'asid, because on the second day it would be turned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu into Rakia. From that drop, it would be stretched into a Rakia. That's why al Shem Ha'asid, it said on day one that Hashem created the Shemayim, which actually he put into place on the second day. Says Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi, Yasekim in Matlas, it was made like cloth, HaRakia. The Rakia was made like cloth. Heichma da'at amar, where do we find a similar concept? When the Pasuk says, Vayuraku es pachei azov, they flattened out the sheets of gold. So too, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu took that one drop of Shemayim that was created on the first day, and he flattened it out, and he made from it the Rakia on the second day. Tani b'shem Rabbi Yeshua, Oyviv shal Rakia, kishtei etzba'ayim. He argues on the previous shita that the thickness of the rakia is a mahalach of 50 years or 500 years, but rather he says the whole thickness of the rakia was approximately 2 finger breadths. And thus he argues on what we said here before. We turn now to Davov Amud Beis, and the Gemara continues, Milsei de Reb Chanina Pliga. The opinion of Reb Chanina differs from what we have learned before on Amud Aleph in terms of the thickness of the rakia. D'amar Rav Acha b'shem Reb Chanina, Rav Acha said the name of Reb Chanina on a pasuk in Iyuv, which is in Perik Lamed Zayin, pasuk Yud Ches. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Iyuv, Tarkia imoy lishchakim. Did you roll out the rakias, the firmaments, with Hashem, Chazakim, to be as strong, Kerei Mutzog, as strong as mirror which is made from molten metal. As the Mitzudis explains there in Iyuv, that a mirror that is made from molten metal is stronger than one that is hammered out from solid metal. So that's a simple pshat of the pasuk. And now, Rav Chanina darshens the pasuk, Tarkia, did you roll out Melamed Shehein Asuyin Kitas? This teaches us that the heavens, the firmaments, are made like thin sheets of metal. And the Charedim in Milsei Reb Chanina tells us, Da'afilu ke'etzpa ein rakia av. On Amud Aleph, we had that perhaps it's 500 years, the thickness, to go through the rakia. Or perhaps it's at least 2 etzbois, but according to Reb Chanina, that it's like a thin sheet of metal, it's not even 1 etzba in thickness. Yochel Shein and Bari, and I would think that since they're so thin that the heavens are not strong, Tamalaymer Chazakim, the Pasuk says, no, they are strong. Yochel Shein Nisrap, and I would think that over time they would become weak, Tamalaymer, Karei Mutzak. Now, we interpreted the words, the Pashup Shot of Karei Mutzak, like a molten mirror. So the word Rei refers to mirror. However, here, Rav Chanina is explaining this word to mean it appears, which means b'chol shav v'shav nirin mutzakim. Every moment when you look at the heavens, they look like they were freshly made, molten, and it's not something that happened in the past, but it appears that it just happened. Rabbi Yoich and Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, they both darshened this pasuk in the following way. Rabbi Yochanan said, "B'noyik shabaylam, the minig of the world is that adam moisech oil, that when a person stretches out a tent, al yedei shoyis kima, with a little bit of time, rough, it becomes weak, it slackens off. The ropes don't hold, and it becomes slack. But Ram Hocha, but here, by the Rabbi Nishalom, by Yimtechem, the Rabbi Nishalom stretched the heavens, ke'oil, l'shevis, like a tent to dwell in, uksiv chazakim. And as we saw in the pasuk, it remains strong. Rav Shimon ben Lakish Amar, he explained the pasuk in the following way. B'noyik shabayim dominik of the world is adam noisich kelim, a person pours vessels from molten metal. Al yedei shoyis, with some time, with the passage of time, humal chaluda, it gathers rust. But Ram Hach, about here, by the Rabbi Nishalom, kereye mutzak. It remains like the appearance of freshly molten metal. B'chol shav v'shav, heinirin k'shas yitzikasan. Every moment when you look at it, it looks fresh, like when it was first made from the molten material. So again, we're not translating the word rei as a mirror, a molten mirror, but rather the impression, the appearance of the item is something that is fresh and not old, and it does not collect rust. Continues the Gemara, Rav Azariah Omar al-Hadu, Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Rav Azariah made the following comment concerning that which Rav Shimon ben Lakish just said, that as time goes on, the Bria maintains its freshness as if it was just created. He saw this in Psukim at the beginning of Bereshis. The Pasuk says, Vayichul HaShemayim V'aretz V'chol Tzvav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished the heaven and the earth and all the hosts of Shemayim and Oretz. Vayichal Elokim Bayom HaShvi, Hashem completed on the seventh day. Vayivorch Elokim Hashem HaShvi, and Hashem blessed the seventh day. Maksiv Basrei, what does it say in the Torah? Following the Sheish HaShemay Bereshis, it says the following Pasuk, Eila Toldos HaShemayim V'ha'aretz. These are the creations of heaven and earth. V'chima inyan zeitzel zeh. What's the connection between this pasuk and what preceded it? If you're going to say it's an introductory pasuk to that which follows this pasuk, if you look at what follows this pasuk, it does not speak about the toldos of Shemayim V'aretz. It must be that this is a pasuk that sums up all the psukim that preceded it. The question is, what is this pasuk adding to what has been written before, that the Ribbono Shel Olam created everything in the Sheish Shemei Bereishis, and he completed his work, and he rested on Shabbos? What is the pasuk of Eil L'Toldos HaShemayim adding to what was written previously? Ella, the Pshat, says Rav Azariah, is the concept that Rav Shimon ben Lakish mentioned before. Yoim Nichnas V'Yoim Yoytze, a day comes in and a day goes out. Shabbos Nichnas, Shabbos Yoytze, a Shabbos, a week goes by with a Shabbos in it, and a week ends. It comes in and it goes out. Chodesh nichnas, a month comes in. Chodesh yaitze, a month goes out. Shana nichnasas, a year comes in. Shana yaitze, a year goes out. Uksiv, as time moves on through days and weeks and months and years, that's what the pasuk is saying. Uksiv, Eila told us Hashemayim v'aretz biboram. As time marches on, you will find that the way it was at the beginning of creation, that's the exact way, with the same freshness as Rab Shimon ben Lakish spoke about, it was as if the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world today. That's how fresh the Shemayim and the Oretz remain. That's the purpose of this pasuk. Ei l'tolos shemaim v'aretz b'yibarem. As time marches on, it still remains as if b'yoyim asoy shashem l'kim eretz shemaim, as if it was created today. The Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah, Atsoif Ashmar Sarishayna. This is the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Until when can you say Kriyishma? At night, until the end of the first watch. And we have now a machlokas, which the Yerushalmi brings between Rebbe and Reb Nosson, which is an identical machlokas that we find in the Bavli in Brachas on Daf Gimel Amid Beis. How many mishmaros does the night have? Does it have three mishmaros, three watches? Or does it have four watches? If it has four watches, then each watch is of a three-hour duration. And when Rabbi Eliezer said in the Mishnah, Tzorif HaShmar Sarishayna, he was saying that Kriya Shema can only be said until the end of the first watch, which is 3 hours of the night, and not later. However, Rabbi Nosson's sheet is that the night has only three watches. That means that each watch is 4 hours. And when Rabbi Eliezer said at Tzorif HaShmar Sarishayna, according to the sheet of Rabbi Nosson, it would come out that from the time that it becomes dark until the end of the first Ashmaira, he has a total of 4 hours to say Kriyishma. Begins the Gemara, Rebbe Yoimer, Rebbe says, Arba Mishmaris Bayoim, there are four Mishmaris in the day. If we take an average day of 12 hours daytime and 12 hours nighttime, so the day has four Mishmaris again, which means that each Mishmar is 3 hours, and at night, Varba Ashmaris Balaila, there are four Ashmaris to the night as well, with each one being of a 3 hour duration. According to the Vilner Gaon, we are now goyres shah echad michavdal biyoim. An hour is 1/24 of the day. And then the Gemara continues, ha'oine echad me'esrim varbo l'shah. There's a period of time called an one, which is 1/24 of an hour. Ha'ace, a period of time called ace, echad me'esrim varbo l'oine, is 1/24 of an one. Ha'rega echad me'esrim varbo l'ace, it's 1/24 of an ace. Kamahu harega, how long is rega? So really, the question is obvious that we know how much rega is based on the mathematical calculations that we've just learned. If a hour is divided up into onos and into ace and into rega, and we say that there are 24 onos to an hour, and then there are 24 aces in an ona, and there are 24 regoim to an ace, so if you multiply 24 by 24 by 24, it would come out that one rega is 1/13,824th of an hour. So what's the Gemara's question, v'kamu rega? So Rab David Oppenheim Zitzal explains that the Gemara wants to have a practical way of determining how long a rega is. And on this, we have two answers in the Gemara. Reb Rechi, b'shem Reb Chelbi, Yomer Kedei Loimroi. The time that it takes to say the word rega, that's a rega. Rabbanan Amrin, and the Rabbanan say, a rega keherif ayin, that rega is really like the blink of an eye, which the Rosh Cirillo tells us is butzer michdei loimer rega. That's even less time than it takes to say the word rega. Continues the Gemara. Tani Shmuel, Shmuel learned, Harega echad mechameshes riboy, visheshes alofim, ushmoina meis, varboim, ushmoina lisha. A rega is not, like we said before, it's 1/13,824th of an hour, but rather it's even smaller than that. It's 1/56,848th of an hour. And actually, in the Gemara in Brachas, Bavli, Dav Zayin, Amid Aleph, the Gemara there says that it is 1/58,888th of an hour. In the Haggadah there on the side, it even makes it smaller, 1/88,888th of an hour. And the Haggadah there in Brachas, Dav Zayin, Amid Aleph says it's better, Yoyser Nochen, to leave out the 10,000, meaning that it's actually a reg is 8,888 of an hour, and this is equal to the number of psukim that we have in the Torah. However, although in our Yerushalmi we have 1/56,848, In Bavli Avodah Zarah Daf Dalet, it's 153,848, and the Rabbeinu Chananel's Girsa there in Avodah Zarah is 156,888, which is close to our Yerushalmi, but not exactly, because again, here in the Yerushalmi, we're saying it's 156,848. So obviously, there are many shitas in precisely how long a rega takes. Rav Nosson disagrees on Rebbe, and he says there's not arba mishmaris to the Lila, but rather shaloish. There are three mishmaris, and he has a pasuk to back him up. When Gideon came to attack the enemy, and he came to the machane, it says that he arrived roish ha'shmaris ha'tichayna, at the beginning of the middle ashmora. So we see, according to Rav Nosson, the pasuk seems to clearly state that there are three ashmaris during the night, and he came at the beginning of the second one, the middle one, Hashmaras Hatichona, the one Ashmara, which is right in the middle between 1 and 3. You have the second Ashmara, and he came at the beginning of that second one. This is the Raya that Rav Nosson brings to his Shita from this Pasuk in Navi. In the preceding Gemara, we had a Pasuk for Rav Nosson's Shita of Shalosh Mishmaras HaValayla, because we brought the Pasuk by Gideon, Roish Hashmaras HaTichayna, to indicate that there are three Hashmaras, and therefore there is one Hashmara that's in the middle. Now the Gemara wants to find a Pasuk on the side of Rebbe as well. Rab Zrek and Rab Ami, B'Shem, Rab Shimon ben Lakish, Taimed Rebbe, the source of Rebbe, a Pasuk, is the following. The Pasuk states, Chatzos Laila Akum Lahodesh L'chal Mishpatei Tzikecha, that David HaMelech said, I would get up at Chatzos to give praise to the righteous Mishpatim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uksiv, and the Pasuk also states, Kodmu Einai Ashmaris, that David HaMelech stated that my eyes preceded two Ashmaros. Therefore, Rebbe sees in this, how is it possible for David HaMelech always to get up by Chatzos and yet have left two Ashmaros to the night? It must be that the night has four Ashmaros. And therefore, at Chatzos, David had slept through two Ashmaros, and he had left two Ashmaros, each one being 3 hours, a total of 6 hours, until daybreak. And this would be L'chor Araya to the Shita of Rebbe. Rav Chizki Omar, Rav Chizki says that Rav Zrikon Rebbe, both Rav Zrikon and Rebbe, they explained the shitas of Rebbe and Rav Nosson. Chad Omer time at the Rebbe. One explained the reason of Rebbe. We don't know if it was Rav Zrikon or it was Rebbe, but one of the two explained Rebbe's reason. The charina, which is like the word achrina, the other one, Omer time at the Rav Nosson. He said the source, the reason for Rav Nosson. Man demar time at the Rebbe. The word demar is like de Omar, the one who said the reason of Rebbe. The word mar is missing the aleph. Man de mar time at the Rebbe, the one who said the reason of Rebbe is Chatzos Laila. He used the pasuk of Chatzos Laila. As we explained before, there were still two Ashmaros left. Uman de mar, and the one who said time de Rav Nosson, he based it on the pasuk that we brought before, Roish Ashmaros HaTichayna, that Gideon came to the camp at the beginning of the middle watch. So we see there are three watches to the night, and Gideon came at the beginning of the second watch. Ask the Gemara, Mamakayim Rav Nosson Taimed de Rebbe Chatzos Laila, what does Rav Nosson do with the source of Rebbe, which would indicate that the night has four Ashmaras, and that's why when David HaMelech got up at Chatzos, there were still two Ashmaras left. So the Gemara answers that Rav Nosson will say that both Psukim are true. One Pasuk is that he got up at Chatzos, and the other Pasuk is correct that there were two Ashmaras, but it happened at two different situations. Pamim Chatzos Laila, sometimes he would get up at Chatzos. He didn't always have the same sleeping pattern. Sometimes he would get up at Chatzos. Upamim, sometimes Kodmu Ein Ashmaris. He would get up earlier so that he would still have left two Ashmaris of 4 hours, which means he had a total of 8 hours left to the night. And sometimes he got up at Chatzos and then he would only have 6 hours. He wouldn't have two Ashmaros. He would only have 1.5 Ashmaros left, according to Rav Nosson Shita, that there's three Ashmaros during the night. But sometimes he would get up earlier before Chatzos so that he would still have two full Hashmaros left, a total of 8 hours. Ha be'ezet sad. How was it determined when he would get up at Chatzos or when he would get up earlier that he would still have two Hashmaros left? B'shoshaya David Soyet Sudas Malachim. When David HaMelech would eat a Suda of the kings, it was a royal Suda, which didn't involve just his family, but it involved the monarchy of Klal Yisrael, then he would get up at Chatzos Lailo. But when he would eat privately with his family, then he got up earlier, Kodmu Einai Ashmoiros. As the Charedim explains, in Divrei HaMashal Shesoy Yitzudis Malachim, She'oichlim Rabimim, many people were eating with him, V'shoya Harbe, B'suda Kodim Shiyoshin, and the Suda would take a long time before he got to bed. Lefikach Loi HaYoyachal Lokim Rach B'chatzois. He went to bed later, and therefore he could only get up at Chatzois. Ach, Kishu Soyedim Ishtoyu Bonu Bava, when he would eat with his wife and children alone, HaYoyashim Yad, he would go to sleep right away. V'kam l'soif Hashmoira Rishayna. He would get up after the first Hashmoira. V'nishir ad ha-boiker shtei Hashmoiras. There were two Hashmoiras that were left till the morning. The Medrash in Eicha Rabbah Beis Chav Beis, which the Marah Fulda brings down, tells us, and let's see the Marah Fulda inside, Divrei HaMashal Sudas Malachim. In the Oz V'Hadar edition, it's the left-hand margin. Sudas Malachim, shayimam shech sudasei ad erev. He would be mamshich the suda of Malachim until the night. Ulafikach loy hayoymer at chatzos. Therefore, he would only get up at chatzos. Avol sudas atzmoi, but his own private suda shaloy hayomamshich ela at teshois, which only went till 9 hours of the day. Hayoyein of kadmu lefnei beis mashish moiris. Then he still had left after he got up two mishmaris. Why? Shahayoshin kidei mishmar v'achach oymed. He would go to sleep after eating the private Suda, which ended at the ninth hour of the day, and he would still have one Mishmar of the night, and when he got up after the one Mishmar of the night, he would have two Ashmaras left. Kach Mavur B'Medrash Rabbah Eicha Beis Chav Beis. Now, let's just, before we comment on this Marav Fulda and the Medrash, let us just conclude what the Gemara says. There was really a third time. Mikol makom lo yave shachar asya umishkach leDavid demech. The shachar, the alosa shachar, the dawn never came and found that David was sleeping. In other words, the latest that David would sleep would be till alois hashachar. And in this, the Rash Cirillo explains in the last Rash Cirillo here on Dav Vav Amid Beis, vafilu beleil shoyel lechoyel yekoyev, even when he was sick and he had some illness, he had some pain, and he wouldn't get up even at Chatzos, but he would never get up later than Alos HaShachar. So it comes out from these Meforshim, from the Medrash Rabbah in Eicha, it would come out that David HaMelech had three periods of sleep. If he ate alone with his family, he finished at the end of the ninth hour of the day. He went to bed, he still had left 3 hours until nighttime. And then he would have the first Mishmar, which according to Reb Nosson is 4 hours each Mishmar, because there's only three Hashmaras to the evening. So he would have a total of 7 hours sleep. If he had a royal suit, it would take longer and it would go till the nighttime. He would go to sleep then, and then he would get up at Chatzos. And it would seem then that he had only 6 hours. He slept 1 hour less when he had a royal suda, but he didn't get up at the end of the first Ashmaira, because then he would only have had 4 hours sleep. He went till Chatzos, which gave him 6 hours sleep. And if he was sick, he had pain, then the latest that he would get up on any after any evening of sleep would be by Alos HaShachar. Now, what bothered me when I learned this Yerushalmi is that we have heard that Hagoyin Rabbi Yashiv Zitzal, for example, I believe he used to get up every morning at 2:30 a.m. He would sleep perhaps 4 hours a night, but if he would go to bed late, he would still get up. If for some reason he was detained and he was by a simcha, which he took off little time to go to a simcha, but if for whatever reason he got to bed late, he would still get up at the set time. So the question I had is that we know Nismai to Adoiris, the generations are getting weaker and weaker, and here it would seem that from the example of Rabbi Yashuv Zitzal, it's something that he steiged over David HaMelech. David HaMelech, if he went to sleep late because of a royal function, he got up later. He didn't get up at the end of the first Hashemayra. He got up at Chatzos. It's true, according to the Cheshbon of the Medrash Eicha, instead of sleeping 7 hours that he usually slept, he only slept 6 hours. But yet, if according to Rabbi Yashiv, he would have gotten up whenever his regular time for getting up was, regardless of when he went to bed. So the only answer that I could think of is perhaps the Gemara in Bavli, Brachos Gimel and Beis, tells us that the sleep of David until Chatzos was not really asleep. The Gemara there says that Ad Chatzos Laila Hoya Misnamnim Kesuks, as Rashi there explains, that Kesus Hazesh Einoi Nirdom La'olam Ela Misnamnim V'Neir Tamid, a horse never falls totally asleep. He's always awake and asleep at the same time. So that sleep that David had until Chatzos was like a sus. Mikan Ve'el Chayim Is Gaber Kari. And Rav Ashi says, until Chatzos, he was Isaac with the retirement, Mikan Ve'elch B'Shivus Hishbachos. So in other words, even that, those 6 or 7 hours, which it would seem from our Gemara that he went to sleep, it was not a real sleep. It was like the sleep of a horse where he never fully fell asleep. And therefore, in that sense, although he went through a 6-7 hour period of possible sleep, it was like the sleep of a sus, and therefore in that sense Avada de Doiris or Rishinim were much greater, that it would come out David HaMelech didn't have his whole life regular sleep. He was at best misnamnim kisus. If anyone has any other thought on this question, please contact me at grossman@ou.org. I just wanted to point out that the Bavli has the same question on Rav Nosson. What does Rav Nosson do with the pasuk that Rebbe brings, that at Chatzos it was still Ashmoiris, there were two watches left, that would luchar be a riot to Rebbe. The Bavli does not give this teretz here of the Yerushalmi, that there were different times. There were times he got up at Chatzos, there were times when he got up after the first Ashmor, which would leave him two Ashmoras, even according to Rav Nosson. Rather, the Bavli gives two other terutzim. One teretz is that, Einachanami, according to Rav Nosson, at Chatzos, there is only left 1.5 Ashmoras to the night, because each Ashmora is 4 hours. So if you're at Chatzos, you only have 6 hours to the night left. That's 1.5. But 1.5 is considered, was called two Ashmoras. It's more than one, even though it's not a full two, but once you get to 1.5, it's already referred to as Ashmoras. That's one teretz of the Bavli. The second teretz of the Bavli is that David was comparing himself, as we're soon going to see here in Yerushalmi even, a comparison to the Malchei Umas Ha'olam, that when do they get up? They get up by the third hour of the day. So David HaMelech was counting the 2 hours of the morning where the Goyishe kings are still sleeping, and if, from Chatzos through the rest of the night, which is 6 hours, plus the 2 hours that all the Malchei Umas Olam are still sleeping, if you add that on to the 6 hours of David, that's 8 hours. And that means that David at Chatzos was getting up when there's two Ashmoras left, even according to Rav Nosson, that a Ashmora is 4 hours. The six plus the two of the daytime when the Malachim were still sleeping gives you a total of 8, which is 2 Ashmoras. And David HaMelech says to Hashem there in the Gemara and Brachas, compare me to the Goyish kings who only get up at the third hour of the night. I have 2 Ashmoras left, including the first 2 hours of the day of the Goyim that they're still sleeping. If 6 and 2 is 8, I still have 2 Ashmoras left. But here the Yerushalmi is giving a different teretz. The Gemara now brings a pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Nun Zayin, pasuk Tes, that brings out this idea that David HaMelech was Ma'orer de Shachar, that he never slept past Alos HaShachar. Hu she David Amar, this is what David said in Tehillim, Ura Kvoidi, awaken my honor. Ura Hanevel V'Kinor. These are musical instruments. The Kinor is the harp. The navel is another musical instrument. Arouse the navel and Kinor. Ura Shachar. I will awaken the morning. Itar Yikri Minkume Ikri Deboiri. Awake my honor in front of the honor of my creator. Ikari loy chashiv klum min kadam ikrei debayri. My honor is not worth anything in front of the honor of a Kaddish Baruch of my creator. Aira shachar, I will awaken the dawn. Ano havinim aira shachar, I will awaken the shachar. But shachra, the dawn, loy havim aira li, will not awaken me. V'hoye yitzre mekatrigoy. And is yitzre hara David adam yitzre hara. And the Yetzirah fought him, v'oimer loy, and he said to him, David, darken shem alochem liyos ha-shachar ma'oron. The way of the world is, concerning regular kings, that the dawn wakes them up. V'at omar ir shachar, and you're saying that you will awaken the dawn. Darken shem alochem liyos ha-shenen ad shalosh ha'os. The way of the kings of the world is to sleep until the third hour, as we mentioned before. V'at omar chatzos lila okem, and you're saying that you're going to get up at midnight, in the middle of the night. V'hu oimer, and on that David replied, al mishpatei tzidkecho. Yes. Ura kvaidi, ura nevel v'chinara, or ira shachar. And then David said, for what purpose? To proclaim the mishpatei tzikecha, the righteousness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dinim, and to give shevach v'idah, to give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to the beautiful Torah that he gave to David and to Klal Yisrael.